We are continuing. If you missed last week, we started part one of Jesus, My Healer. And we believe that God still heals. God heals through doctors, right? Through medication. Those things are very valid. But I want to tell you that what we're talking about here today is that God still does supernatural healing. Right? God still does things that many times doctors are like, I have no explanation for that. Right? I don't know how to explain that. It's more than I can say. So that's what we're talking about. And you know, being an American, how many of you know we pride ourselves on our independence? We've got July 4th, the Declaration of Independence. Now, how many of you know that document was basically stating that we are our own country, no longer ruled by England? It's not a statement of me, myself, and I don't need anybody else. That's not what that is about. As a matter of fact, I think in life we will find out that at one time or another, we need other people. We need other people in our life. You know, when you're young and you think you can do it all, but those times come where it's like, you know what, I need some help. I mean, there were times that I could wrestle my sons and I could take both of them, right? Now if I want to wrestle them, I need some help. All right, so after service, I need a few people that will, because I can't take them anymore by myself. So Pat, let me see, I'm going to pick a few. No, I'm just kidding. But I believe that that's one of the benefits of being a part of a church body, community. It's not so much about, oh, I got to do my church thing. It's like, I need connection. I need to know other people. I've got to have other people in my life. Because, you know, they may be at a place right now where they need me to come along and pray with them and be with them.
When your faith is weak, you need someone to stand with you. Moments of crisis. How many of you have been through times of crisis and you needed somebody, right? And that I believe that it's in our biggest crisis that reveals who our friends really are. The ones that are really there, the ones that will sacrifice, the ones that will go that extra mile, and then the extra mile on top of that. For us. So we need that. We need that in our life. But today we're going to be looking at a man that was in crisis who had somebody that was willing to stand with him for a miracle. Somebody that was willing. And it's in Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 31. It says, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre, went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis." Now, I want you to kind of get an idea. Sometimes when I read the Bible and I see these different cities, I always got to pull up a map and say, now, where is that? Where's Tyre? Where's Sidon? Where's the Sea of Galilee? Where's the Decapolis? Where is that? And so I looked this up, and Tyre is kind of on the coast, and then Sidon is like further up north quite a ways, and then the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis is further down here. It's kind of like saying this trick that he took is like, hey, listen, I want to go to Santa Cruz, but I'm going to go through Chico first and then head down to Santa Cruz. Right? Now, we don't know why Jesus took that route. We know that the scripture says that if everything was written and all the miracles taken into account of what he did, there wouldn't be enough books to contain. But this was a several-month trip probably that took place. Who knows what Jesus did in there? I can guarantee there were healings, there were deliverances, there were teaching opportunities that took place, and he discipled his disciples in that. But then he comes to this area called the Decapolis. What is that? That sounds like something out of Marvel. Is that like Metropolis or something? But it is, Decapolis basically means 10 cities. And so there were 10 cities that were in this area. And here's the thing that we need to see. This is not the first time Jesus was in this area. This is not the first time he was there. Just two chapters earlier, but probably several months earlier, Jesus had cast out a demon out of a man, not just a demon, it was a legion, it was a bunch of demons out of a man, and the demons went into a bunch of pigs, a whole herd of pigs, who then ran off of a cliff and drowned, right? After Jesus did that, guess what they did? The people in that area, after Jesus performed this mighty miracle and they saw this man delivered, they said, Jesus, get out of here. We don't want you here. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background on the Decapolis. First of all, have you ever wondered, if you understand Jewish history, they do not eat pork. So why was there a herd of pigs? Why were they, I mean, like, what was the point? Like, to give pig rides to people or something? Because what do you do with a pig if you're not going to eat it? All right? I mean, I don't know. Like, hey, listen, I got 1,000 pet pigs, right? No, the reason is because this area of the Decapolis was mainly a Greek settlement, so that wasn't just pigs. That was their bacon. That was their ham. You know, that was their pork loin, whatever you want to think. That was a lot of food going over the cliff. And not for the Jewish. They don't care. It's like, hey, listen, let them drown. We're not eating them anyway. But that was a big deal for them. And so at that point, all they could do is see all of that revenue go into the... Now, how many of you would be mad if your bacon, somebody came in and took all the bacon out of your house? Right? Like, dude, you know what? You can take the celery, you can take the radishes, but don't touch my bacon. Right? How many of you feel me on that? I think that's kind of how they were at that. And so they're like, Jesus, dude, you got to go. You know, you got to get out of here. And so, you know, Jesus is going to go. He's leaving. He's getting into the boat. And the guy that got delivered from all of the demons is like, you know, he's got freedom all of a sudden. He's got sound mind. He is free. And these guys don't appreciate Jesus. He's like, I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to get in the boat, and I want to go with you. And in Mark chapter 5, this is where that story is. Starting at verse 18, as Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family, tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Basically, he's sending him back to be a missionary to his people, right? Here's the thing that we need to learn. When God does something for you, whether it's a salvation, whether God heals you, whether God delivers you for something, do you realize God wants us to tell other people about it? All right? He wants us to go back and let other people. Like, if you came to church today and you know, you're driving a little bit of a clunker, let's be honest. Anybody here have kind of a clunker? You wouldn't mind getting a new vehicle? All right? Let's be honest. So if you came to church today and I gave you keys to a brand new car, and you're like, sweet, would you tell somebody about it? Like, man, I went to church, check out my new vet, right? Check out my new whatever it is that you might want to have. We would tell somebody. So how much more, if Jesus has done something for us, do we want to tell? Should we want to tell other people? Right? So verse 20, so the man went away, and he began to tell them where? In the Decapolis. The very place where Jesus at, started telling about what Jesus had done for him. And let me tell you, if you were Jesus, if I were Jesus, and I performed this amazing miracle, cast demons out, and then all of a sudden people are like, please go away, we don't want you here. I would be like, fine. You know, wipe my hands, knock the dust off my shoes, and I'm out of here, and I'm never coming back. All right? I'm out. Peace out, guys. You don't want to see that? But aren't you glad that's not how Jesus is? Aren't you glad that the first time you rejected Jesus, he didn't just walk away and never come back? Aren't you glad the second time and the third time and the fourth time that you rejected Jesus, that he continued, that he pursued after us? You see, that's not the nature of Jesus just to wash his hands and walk away. He wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship. He keeps loving. He keeps pursuing. Here's the point. Jesus never gives up, right? All of the days of your life, God is on your heels. You're like, I left God, you know, however many years ago, but guess what? He's still after you. He's still coming. That's why you can't get away, because he loves you. He's not going to just, all right, go away, God. I don't want you anymore. Well, that's what you say, but I'm going to be back. Right, I'm going to be back. So Jesus goes back to this place that he was told to leave. This time, things are different. It's not the same reception. Why is that? Because that verse 20, I didn't read the rest of it. After he goes back and tells all that has done for him, it says all the people were amazed. After they had a little time of separation from their bacon, they began to hear testimony of a life that was changed. Right? Like, God has done something. Look, this guy's different. They began to see it wasn't just a temporary change. This guy's complete life is totally different. And they began to realize there's something about that. And God wanted them to hear that. And so we need to make sure that we are people that tell our testimony. And I believe that we're supposed to keep telling people, because when you do that, you begin to fertilize the soil for when Christ comes, they are receptive. Right? When Christ comes. And I believe that's exactly what this man did. He went back. He started telling people. Eventually, there was enough interest that when Jesus came back to the area of the Decapolis, people were much more receptive. Like, I want to hear about this. So, verse 32, it says, there some people brought to him a man who was deaf, who could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hands on him. Now, we're going to read the rest of it in a second, but I want you know, we've been around, maybe you know somebody, maybe you've seen it on TV, somebody that is deaf, and when they try to communicate, you know, they're trying to form, they've never heard a word, and so they're trying to talk, and sounds will come out, you know, they're looking at the formation of their lips, and they try to talk, but it's not very legible, or unlegible, it's not very understandable, right? And some of them get a little bit better, but it's hard. I mean, if you've never heard a word, how do you pronounce a word, right? If all you're able to do is see somebody's lips. So here's this guy. He could hardly talk. They begged him, and some friends brought this man to Jesus. Somebody, I don't know if it was family members, if it was friends. They, you know, this guy didn't know where to go. He didn't know what was going on. He couldn't communicate his need to Jesus. He needed help, didn't he? He needed somebody to be there for him. And here's the thing that I want us to understand. It's okay to need help. Right? It's okay to need help. Listen, when you don't know how to pray, when you don't know how to approach Jesus, it's okay to ask somebody to pray for you. It's okay to ask for somebody to pray with you and say, listen, I'm in a situation. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do. How many of you have ever been to, like, maybe a smaller group prayer, and they're taking prayer requests, and people are sharing their needs, and then someone raises their hands and says, I have an unspoken request, which is now spoken, right? Even not the details. Listen, I understand that, because there are times you don't want everybody to know what's going on in your life. But I think the important thing is that we need to understand, we need to tell somebody. We need to tell somebody. We've got to have some people that I can share my needs with, because that is so important. If I never share my need with anybody else, do you know, that's pride, isn't it? If I never tell anybody, oh, no, I'm good. You got any progress? No, I'm good, I'm good. Oh, you got any needs? No, I'm good. We think we can handle it ourselves, right? That is not humility. I want to tell you, be careful, because if you don't humble yourself, God knows how to do it for you. Amen. Am I right? So I tell people this. I was talking to someone the other day. If you don't humble yourself, then God will do it for you. Right? So you better humble yourself. If you have a need, you don't have to come up here on the mic and tell everybody. But you know what? You need to have somebody that you can tell it to. I believe the point in that is that there are people in the body of Christ, in your family, that will offer love, that will offer support, that will offer encouragement. I mean, that's why we have prayer time. That's why online we have, you know, hey, listen, send us. We've got a prayer wall on our website. You can put it on there. You can text us, however you want to do it. But let somebody know. And listen, I just want to tell you that there have been times. We've been doing ministry for a long time, and we don't see somebody, we don't know where they're at, you know, and they come back and they're all mad at us. They said, I was in the hospital and you never came and visited me. I'm like, did you tell anybody? Well, no. I don't know if you realize this, but Pastor Colleen and I do not have a crystal ball, right? We do not know what is going on if you don't tell us what is going on. And you're like, well, I posted something on Facebook. Here's another thing. You may not realize it, but we don't look at everybody's Facebook. We have not assigned anybody, hey, listen, make sure, well, let me just say this. I've seen some of your Facebooks, and maybe we should have somebody monitor it, all right? But we're not going to do that. But listen, you can tell us, you can text, you can email. There's so many ways that you guys, you can get in contact with us. So I just read verse 32. They begged him, place your hands on him. They're like, Jesus, pray for this guy. He needs healing. And so Jesus took him aside away from the crowd. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of times Jesus, he healed right where they were at. All right, last week I talked about a couple different, he didn't take anybody to side. Why did Jesus do that? I believe it's because he wasn't looking to sensationalize the moment. All right, this was at a point in Jesus' ministry where there were many times he couldn't even walk into a town because so many people became spiritual thrill seekers. I wanted to check out this cool, oh man, Jesus does miracles. Let's go check it out. Right, let's go see something amazing. They weren't interested in the kingdom of God. They weren't interested in growing in their faith. They just wanted to see something cool, right? And Jesus' main focus was not about doing spectacular miracles. He was about transforming lives and changing hearts, right? I can't tell you how many people are like, oh man, I just want to see a miracle. Well, do you want to get right with Jesus? No, but I want to see a miracle, right? Jesus preferred the significant over the spectacular. He could have done way more he's God. He could have done all kinds of spectacular miracles. Like, and many people wanted to see it. Pilate wanted to see it, you know. Several people. The Pharisees were mocking him on the cross, right? Saying, if you're the Son of God, come down from there. How many of you know he could have done it? Right? What would they have done if they were mocking him, laughing, and all of a sudden the nails popped up, the wounds healed, and he jumped off the cross? Like, like the deer in the headlight, right? Like, oh man, we didn't expect that. But Jesus was not into trying to just dazzle people with his miracles. And listen, we love seeing people healed. We love seeing people believe. I want to see it more and more, amen? But I want to tell you, we need to, first of all, never forget that there's nothing more significant than when a person gives their life to Christ and decides to follow him. Amen. Over any miracle. Who cares if you have every miracle in the world happen, but you don't have Jesus? Right? That's the most important. So he took him to his side, away from the crowd, and Jesus puts his fingers in his ears. Right? How many of you like people putting fingers in your ear? And then he spits and touches the man's tongue. Is that weird? Like, seriously, like that was weird, right? I'm just going to be honest there. Like who prays for people like that? Jesus didn't follow. Here's the thing. He didn't follow a formula. He didn't follow a pattern. When he healed people, listen, sometimes he touched them. Sometimes he spoke a word. Lazarus died and was dead for 4 days, so he was stinking. Even as his sister said, Lord, by now he stinketh. Okay, if you're going King James, right? I don't know if stinketh is worse than stink, but he was not smelling good. Jesus called him out of the tomb. Roll it away. Last week I talked about Bartimaeus and the lame man. He just spoke the word and they were healed. In Luke 7:14, Jesus interrupts a funeral. This mother who had already lost her husband has now lost her only son, and they're in a funeral. They've got the casket on their shoulders. They're walking. I want you to just kind of picture this. And Jesus, they just happened to encounter. They weren't even coming to see Jesus, but Jesus saw them, and he tells them, don't cry. And then verse 14, I love this. It says, then he went up and touched the coffin. First of all, you don't touch dead things, right? Like, that makes you unclean. And he touches the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. Of course they did. Like, this is not normal. We're taken to bury this guy. What are you doing? What is going on? And Jesus said to the young man, I say, so Jesus is not even talking. He's talking to the dead guy in the casket. He says, get up. And I wonder if for a split second these guys are thinking, what in the world is going on with this guy? He's crazy. And then the next thing they know, they felt movement in the casket, and the guy sat up, and he began to speak. That's what it says. He began to speak. What do you think he said? Have you ever thought about that? Boo! Did somebody say that? Are you Randy? You heard me say that in the first service. That's what he said. I don't know what he said. Praise you, Lord. Like, whoa, this is amazing. But that had to, like, that was different, right? Mark chapter 5, one of the synagogue rulers, his daughter had died, Jairus' daughter, and so Jesus is going to heal her, but in the process, some woman comes up, touches his garment, and according to the scripture, Jesus didn't know what was going to happen and didn't know who it was. So he didn't initiate it, but she was healed by touching the edge of his garment. And I think that's amazing. John 9, the blind man was healed when Jesus spit in the mud, right? And then put it in his eye. Like that's an interesting way of doing. Now, here's the thing. I kind of talked about this a little bit last week. Human nature is, if Jesus did it the same way every time, soon people would begin to do it exactly like Jesus did, right? Like, if every time he healed people, he spit in mud and put it in his eye, then I've got my mud up here in this little cup that I have filled full of spit. Okay, I'm kidding. I didn't spit in it. But let me tell you, if Jesus would have healed like this every time, you would have seen every televangelist on TV saying, hey, listen, if you want your holy mud that I just filled full of spit, just send in your $149.99. This is straight from Israel, right where the blind man was healed, and you can get your miracle mud. Am I right? We would be doing that because that's kind of our nature. So Jesus, man, he changed things up, didn't he? And he heals the 10 lepers. He healed lepers different. Same disease, different way. Like the 10 lepers that came, when Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And the scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. Like, so I've tried to imagine, what does that look like? Like, you know, you're missing parts of your body. And as you're walking, all of a sudden my nose is back. My fingers are back. The blotches are disappearing the more that you're going. I mean, that had to be an amazing walk for those guys, right? Another leper in Mark 1 came up, and the leper said, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus says, I'm willing. And then he touches the leper and makes him whole, right? I think all of this is that there is no formula. There's nothing specific you have to do, certain words that you have to say, a certain way that you have to pray. It's not about finding the prayer expert or getting to the right place, because your healing is not based on what you do. Your healing is based on what God has already done.
Hallelujah.
Amen? And so here's the point. Jesus uses different methods for different people with different needs. Right? He changes it up. You can't restrict Jesus to how you want. Okay, God, this is how I want you to be healed, how I want to be healed. If you know the story of Naaman in the Old Testament, he wanted to be healed a certain way, and the prophet told him, go dunk yourself 7 times in, I don't know if it was the Jordan River, and was it? Okay, in the Jordan River. Well, he goes, there's better rivers where I'm from. Why am I going to go get in this nasty river? He had an expectation. He did it and was healed anyway. But, you know, we can't determine and tell God how you're going to do it. We can't put, how many of you realize, you've come to realize, I can't put God in my little box.
Right?
I just can't do it. And so here's the point. Principles in Scripture are consistent. We never get away from that. The message that we preach is unchanging. It's all about Jesus, right? He's the only way. He still heals. He still delivers. He still does all of that. But do you guys realize methods change all the time? Right? Methods change all the time. Here's a big news flash for you. Most arguments in church do not start about a message or principles. They're about methods that people have decided have to be followed. This is the way I grew up. This is how we're supposed to do it. And let me just let you in that how we do church, let me just use that phrase there because that's a little weird anyway. At Freedom Church, it may not look like the church that you went to last. It definitely doesn't look like it did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 50 years ago. You realize things have changed a little bit. Methods have changed a little bit. There was a time when it was a sin to have drums in the church. Am I right? Oh, my goodness. You're bringing in drums? Where's the organ? How can you worship the Lord without an organ? Is that even possible? you know, time everybody wore suits. You know, that's okay. Our whole society used to dress up a lot more than we do now. Things have changed. Let me just say this. Things have changed in the last 5 months. Amen. If you came to church 5.5 months ago, Things where we didn't have seats separated. We didn't have your little names on the little seats where people can sit. People weren't coming in wearing masks and have hand sanitizers. We didn't have, we had maybe 10 people watch our online service. We've been doing it for a while. So now we are not just an in-person church. We are an online church. And so we have to think about that. Worship. We still do worship, but I don't know if you realize it, our worship set is shorter. Pastor Timothy, he used to do 4 to 5 songs. Now, because we're online, we're having to think about people that are watching online. And just if you're watching online, let me tell you, we think and we pray about you. And then we see the people here. And so we have to put a service together that is going to meet the needs of both people. Let me tell you, that's not as easy as it sounds. Right? We do online discipleship. We have online prayer. We have in-person prayer. We have in-person classes. And so all of that stuff is going on. And if we think that things are going to be like they were, you know, 5 months ago or however, methods are going to continue to change. I don't know what it's going to look like in a year from now. But I'll tell you what, we'll never change the message and the principles, right? Let me tell you, we deal with so many different traditions, and some people think this tradition is so important, so, you know, a lot of times people leave a church because their tradition is not happening. This is how I've always had. And can we agree that we're not going to get hung up on methods as long as the message is still the same? Can we agree with that? Amen? So let's move on in the story. For instance, Jesus used this strange method. Putting fingers in, and I thought about this. What would have happened if he had spit and touched the man's tongue and then put his fingers in the ear? How many of you know the term wet willy? Right? It's like, let me just get this all slobbered up and then put my finger in your ear, right? So at least he had mercy there, right? But, I mean, Jesus hadn't even heard of COVID or something, right? What is going on? Like if that's how we prayed for people, I think our governor would have banned praying for the sick. Listen, guys, I'm sorry you can't spit on people's tongues anymore. That's going to spread the disease, so you can't do that. But how would you guys like it if that's how we prayed for people? Hey, we're going to have everybody come up for prayer. Come on up, guys. You're like, no, thank you. But the deaf man did not freak out. He just received his healing, didn't he? He just, let me tell you, there's a lesson to be learned here. Don't freak out when things are different. Right? Don't freak out when things are different. Let me just tell you, not growing up in church and certainly not growing up in a spirit-filled Pentecostal church, first time I went, it was weird. Can anybody testify to that, right? Like, why are people raising their hand? Do they all have a question? Right? What is going on here? What is that interesting language that I hear, you know, with my ear? What is going on? How come people are coming up to the front? Why are people falling down sometimes when people pray? What is going on? Right? It was weird, but you know what? I stayed. Because there was something stronger than the weirdness, like there was the Holy Spirit that was pulling me. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. These people are a little weird. But man, I was drawn by the Spirit. Amen? So, like I said, don't we serve an incredibly creative, flexible God? Amen? As we're meeting online and in person, let me ask this question. Can God heal online? Absolutely. I shared my testimony last week about being healed by a phone call. It wasn't online, but it was by a phone. I didn't have some miraculous finger come out of the phone and anoint my head with oil. All right? God can do it. Jesus never prayed for anyone online. That's because they didn't have online back then. But I guarantee if it were today, he probably would have. He still does, as a matter of fact, because if you get healed online or phone or whatever, it's because Jesus did it. Amen. So today I want you to hear a testimony from somebody. They've been coming to the church a couple months now, Mike Evans, and I'm just going to invite him up. God has touched him several different times, but I want you to hear his testimony. Can we give him a hand?
You know what Pastor Scott was saying, if you got a brand new car, you'd be excited. Well, I got something way better than a brand new car. 12 years ago, I lost my eyesight in my left eye. I broke the main trunk vessel. I'm going to give you the short message because I don't have much time. But the eye doctor, the ophthalmologist, said that your eye might die and we might have to remove it. Well, God had a different plan. He restored my eyesight totally. Two years later, I got cancer, and they sent me to a doctor at UC Davis. And God has healed me of that, too. And I just want to let you know something. With the eye doctor, which is in Placerville, his name is Ronald Evans. Evans is my last name. When I got cancer, they sent me to UC Davis, Christopher Evans. God has a way of putting his hand on you. I carry those two business cards in my wallet. You can see they're pretty worn out because I know that God had his hand on this, and he healed me. And I got my eyesight back 12 years ago. I've been free of cancer for 10. And when I got my eyesight back, it so shocked the doctors, they would call me once a year. Can you still see? Yeah, I can see. And I'm going to give you another quick one. We were going to go, my wife and I were going to go to a vacation by Cancun. It's actually called Playa del Carmen. And we had a red-eye flight. Woke up about midnight, and I had these horrific pains in my stomach. And I thought, well, I'll be all right. I'll make it. I told my wife we're going because it was an expensive trip and we didn't get insurance. So we hopped in my truck and we're heading for Sacramento Airport. And halfway through, I couldn't drive anymore. I had to pull off the freeway because the pain was so horrific. So I said, would you take me to UC Davis emergency? And she did. Make it short here. So, okay. They gave me a shot of morphine. It happened to be a woman doctor. And she's saying that kind of pain can be very horrific. It's the first time in my life that I threw up and I wasn't sick to my stomach. It was just from the sheer pain. But the morphine kicked in and I asked the doctor, do you think I can make that flight to Cancun? She goes, I don't know. But we hopped on a jet, and there's more to this story. I can tell you more about it later on my Facebook. But anyway, we got to Cancun and the pain kicked in again, and my wife ordered from the hotel to eat in. And I remember I was bent over in pain, and I said, God, I said, you know I'd like this pain to go away. But I said, even if you don't heal me from it, I love you no matter what. And I'm telling you, the moment I said that, and I got to do this, I felt two big hands, not like a normal hand, but two big hands, and I could feel the pressure on my side, warm hands, and instantly, gone. The pain was gone. Never came back. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, your topic today, Jesus is the healer. Yes, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he can heal. Thank you. And when he heals you, you need to shout it at the mountaintops. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
He does have a longer part of that testimony that is on his YouTube page. If you want to hit him up, you can get that. And God still heals.
Amen.
Right? I think that's the point. Anywhere, anytime, God can touch you. And let me tell you, he might not do it the way you think it should be done. Might not be the way you grew up, things happening. But God still, we believe that. So going back to the story of this man that just got his ears and spit on his tongue, Jesus says this to him. He looked up to heaven, this is Jesus, he looked up to heaven with a deep sigh, and he said this word that I'm not going to try to pronounce, but it means to be open. And at this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak how?
Plainly.
Right, remember how he spoke before? Never heard a word, never, you know, and let me tell you, even people that get those, somebody told me, what do they call? Cochlear, yeah. You guys know it. They've never heard, but then they put it on. Even when they start speaking, they're not speaking plainly, are they? Because they have to learn how to speak. They got to learn how to move their tongue and, you know, pronounce all of the things. So, you know, they can get it in time. But this man all of a sudden began to speak plainly. So it wasn't just the miracle of his ears being open. You remember he touched his tongue so that he could begin to pronounce words exactly correct. That's pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but it's like he did a double miracle there. And let me tell you, the same Jesus that touched that man back 2,000 years ago, that healed Mike, that healed me with the testimony I shared last week. And let me tell you, I've heard numerous testimonies from so many different people. He can heal you. Right. Amen. Can we all just say this? Jesus can heal me. Amen. Anytime he wants, right? So Jesus commands this guy. Check this out. First of all, he tells the guy in the area that he delivered from demons, he says, go back and tell everyone, right? Now he's telling this guy, don't tell anyone. The only reason he told him that is because too many people are coming. He can't even get his way in. Oftentimes he had to withdraw. But guess what happened? It happened, and he couldn't help it. And I don't think Jesus faulted him for it. He couldn't help but tell about what Jesus had done for him. And isn't that great? He tells him not to tell anyone, and yet he tells everyone. Now Jesus tells us to tell everyone, and we don't tell anybody. What's going on with that? We've got to be vocal about what God has done in our life. And verse 37, it says, the people were overwhelmed with amazement. They were like, whoa, this is amazing. And they said, made this statement, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now, let me say this. This isn't a statement just about the man he just healed. It was about the past. It was about the demonized man that got deliverance, right? That they rejected at one time, but now they see he has done everything well. Let me tell you, there are times maybe in your life, I know in my life, where maybe you got to the point you haven't always believed that. Like, man, I'm going through something and it's just too hard. It's too difficult. Where is God in this situation? Times that I've doubted his presence. Anybody else with me? Like, God, I don't even feel like you're there. Times that I've questioned God, like, God, what are you doing? This isn't the plan, God. But I want you to understand that as time goes on, and I'm sure you can testify, God has proven himself faithful, and what you went through, God has used it for your good. He has used it to perfect you. He has used it to build you more like him. And we can say with confidence that he has done everything well. Amen. He has done. Listen, I don't understand why I've gone through some of the challenges, some of the things, but I know God knows what he's doing. Right. Right? He doesn't cause those situations. I want you to understand, God doesn't bring sickness. God doesn't bring calamity into your life. That is a result of living, making bad choices, number one, or number two, living in a fallen world. Right? Sometimes things just happen. And so when it does, God says, oh, listen, there's a crisis. I'm going to monopolize on that, and I'm going to draw them closer to me in the midst of it. Let me tell you, God is always at work in the background of our life, and it's usually not till later that it comes to light that we begin to realize what he was doing. Can you imagine how life would be, how different life would be if you've always had this conviction that he's done everything well? If you're going through the darkest days of your life, and you know, hey, listen, this is horrible, this isn't good, but I know that God will do everything well. I know that he is working it out for his glory, and we can stand with conviction knowing if he has done everything well, then guess what? He will do everything well. I don't care what the future holds. I don't care what challenges. Listen, I'm not going to come up here and tell you your life's going to be peaches and cream from this day forward. There's going to be more challenges. There's going to be more difficulties. There's going to be some dark days that are ahead. But you know what? The God that I serve, he's always done everything well. I know that whatever lies ahead, he's still going to do everything well. He's still going to use it. Jesus can turn my life around. Amen. Jesus can really heal anytime he wants. He can help me out of financial difficulties. Amen. If you're in a financial hole and you don't know how you're going to get out, listen, we serve a God that owns not just the cattle on a thousand hill. He owns them on every hill. Right? Right? He's got all the resources of heaven. Jesus can help you break free of addictions. Right? I don't care what that addiction is. Right? He can do it. He has and he will do everything well. We need to walk away today with that conviction that, listen, we're facing an unknown world right now, aren't we? I mean, we always have, but I don't think it's ever slapped us in the face as much as 2020 has. Am I right? Like, whoa, I didn't think this would happen. But you know what? It's happening, and I'm not afraid. Amen. I'm not walking in fear. Not because, you know, I'm Superman and I'm just, you know, and I'm ignorant. No, because I serve a God that has done everything well, and I know that whatever the future may hold, no matter what results of elections, no matter what results of doctors that they come and say to you, I know that He will do everything well.
Amen.
And so what is my decision? I've got to trust Him. I've got to trust Him. Do I trust Him?
Yeah.
Do I trust Him with what's going on in my life?
Yeah.
Do I trust Him after you go to the doctor and He gives you a diagnosis that is, in, you know, all apparent terms, a death sentence?
Yeah.
Do you trust Him?
Yeah.
I mean, I love what Pat said the other, was a couple of weeks ago. You can't threaten me with eternity. Something to that effect. I picked up on a few of your little key statements there, and I just thought that was so good. Like seriously, if I die, then that's, you know, what did Paul say? To die is gain. I just get to gain. So why am I afraid of it? Why am I afraid? And I, you know, Mike mentioned this scripture a minute ago. He didn't know it was in my message. But Hebrews says Jesus is the same yesterday. If He did everything well yesterday, then today, whatever you're going through, He's going to do everything well. What about tomorrow? He's still the same. I can still trust Him. We can trust Him with whatever. If you need a touch from God, if you need a healing, listen, if you're online and you need prayer, you can either put it on there or you can go to our prayer wall. You can text us. Reach out somehow because we want to pray for you. If you want us to give you a call back, you can send us a message online, and we will call you. You know, we live in a day and age, you don't have to worry about long distance anymore, right? We can just call you on the phone. We will call. We will pray over you. If you're here, can I have some of our prayer team? Can you guys come up? If you need a touch from God, you need to be healed, and it may be a physical issue in your body. It may be a spiritual issue that's going on. Listen, the spiritual issue is that we need to give our life to Jesus. It might be an emotion. Listen, people are struggling with their emotions. But I don't want to tell anybody, how are you doing? I'm good. And on the inside, you're really not. You can be honest. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. God wants to give you peace. As we were coming up to church, we always pray on our way to church that, and this was last week and this week, God wants to restore joy. He wants to restore peace. He wants to restore you. And so if you're struggling with any of that, come up and get prayer. If you need a physical touch, come up and get prayer. You know, if even, you know, psychologically there are things that go on. If you're struggling, coming up and get prayer. Nobody's going to judge you. If they do, they got more problems than you do. Am I right? Sit in your judgment and be unhappy. Sorry, I'm going to get on a tangent. I want freedom. I want freedom for. If you're online, you want freedom, let us know. We care about you. We want to pray for you. I believe deliverance is coming. Amen? Because that's the same God that we serve. He is the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He's the same forever. Amen?